on this subject. I'm so grateful we get to do this month. I'm so grateful. I really am believing that these seven families of children are going to be adopted this year as we pray for them. It makes a difference, guys. And they're going to receive the healing that comes from love. Love is so powerful. So powerful. Being part of a family that loves you, so powerful. So powerful. All right, so I want to know if everyone has notes today. If not, I know Stan can help us out here with this. But if you, everyone needs like one of these. I'm going to talk to you today about getting grounded in God's goodness. And I have lots of scripture. So if you still need a handout, could you just raise your hand? And Stan's got some back there. Here, you got mine. Yeah, just keep your hands up. Oh, are we out? All right, well, if we're out, husbands and wives, if you could share and hand one. We still got a Daw needs one in the back. So if we have a husband and wife that can share, then our precious A Daw can have one. A Daw, Le Kapa, we love you guys so much. Augie, we're so glad you guys come. You're amazing. You're outstanding examples of young men in the Korean community. Just feel like God's using you to show other, especially Korean young men, what it looks like to love Jesus well, to like be a man of God. And I'm so proud of you three, honestly. You're leaders among your people. You really are. I love you guys so much. Oh, I just kind of ooze on people. I'm just lovey. I feel lovey today. Let's just give mama hugs all day long, right? Okay, talking about the goodness of God. Oh, this topic has been on my heart so much. I just want us as a church to be grounded and so utterly convinced of the goodness of the God that we serve. It really has to be the foundation. It's a foundation piece of our faith. Like, who is this God we're entrusting our life to? Can he really handle our lives? Can he really handle our future? Is he trustworthy? Yes, he is, because one of his greatest attributes is his goodness. He's so, so good. It's so important that we're grounded and we understand the goodness of God, because actually really bad things happen in life, right? And if we don't understand how good he is, people end up being offended with God. There's a lot of confusion about where bad things come from and where good things come from. And I think a lot of times people attribute God with the devil's work, and sometimes maybe the devil with God's work. I don't know, but we're going to look at it today from the scriptures, because God is good, 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 good. And however good you think he is, he's actually better than that. I mean, we're still a million years from now when we're in heaven, in the New Jerusalem, in heaven, we're still going to be getting new revelations of his goodness. It's like going to come like a blast maybe through the heavenlies. Reverberating through the heavenly city. Oh, I just got a fresh and new understanding of the goodness of God. A billion years from now, new aspects of his goodness still revealed to our being. He's amazing. And honestly, offense, when we don't realize that God's good and he has good things for us, then when bad things happen, if we have this thing in our mind like, well, God, you know, he hands out sickness every morning. He decides who's going to get cancer today. I mean, we're just going to look at this in the scriptures, guys. The Lord is good. And it's not a twisted good. It's like a really good good. He's a really good father. And when we know how good he is, we can go through trials and tribulations knowing he's with us on our side. He's not the problem in this moment. He's my solution. He's not the big question. He's my answer in this moment. It's so important. It's so important we know how good he is. And there has been an assault, an attack from straight from hell on the goodness of God since the Garden of Eden had started. The attack on the goodness of God is what caused Eve to be deceived and to fall into the very first sin. Because the serpent came to Eve and said, did the Lord really say not to eat from this tree? Don't you know he's really just withholding something good from you? There was an assault, an attack on the very character of God in that moment. And she took the bait, entered into sin, and the whole world fell apart. And ever since that moment, the devil never stops lying about the character of God. He accuses God. He will accuse God to you all day long. Look at that trouble you're in. God doesn't love you. Look what he did to you. Look at how your aunt died. Look at how that little kid that's suffering. Look at 8 million orphans. Do you think God woke up and planned 8 million orphans? That is the result of sin and Satan. But God does have 8 million parents he can raise up. The Lord in every situation is good. He is our answer. There is this powerful testimony from a good friend of ours. Maybe some of you know Dave and Jeannie Kaufman. They pastor Holy Life Tabernacle Church in Brookings. I love them. They're amazing. They pioneered that church. They're in their 60s, been in ministry their entire life. I love them. I love people of integrity. And they are people of faith and integrity. And just recently, Dave was telling the story about when they have two children. When their daughter Angela was young, very young, she was diagnosed with a super rare form of MS. And it was just like, I just can't imagine. It's just really hard. Anyone who's had their children suffer in any way can just even slightly, I think, maybe identify with the pain of seeing our kids suffer. But Angela was very small when she was diagnosed with a very rare form of MS, and she was losing muscle control, and it, you know, totally dominated their entire life, just caring for her and believing and standing in faith for her healing. And as she grew up through childhood, she almost died multiple times. And actually, at one point, they were in the hospital with her, and the doctors lost her. And they were resuscitating her on the table. And Dave said he and Jeannie were in the room. And the Lord spoke like loud to them in that moment. And he says, I want you to praise me. And Dave said, this is what he said. He says, why would I do that? I mean, he's being honest. My little girl is dying on the table. Why would I praise you? And God said this, because I'm your solution, not your problem right now. And he turned and he looked at Jeannie. He says, we're going to praise God. And they just began to worship the Lord and praise God out loud. Didn't matter who was in the room, shouting praises to the Lord. And their daughter was resuscitated. Long story short, over the course of the next 10 years, she was gradually healed. And now she lives like she's a, what is she? Pharmacist. She's a pharmacist in Sioux Falls. Has a couple of beautiful adopted children herself, a great marriage. You know, in that moment of its crisis, it's really easy to say, God, what are you doing to me? Rather than to say, whoa, I got to turn to God, the good, good Father, because he's on my side right now. He's in my corner. And I feel so passionate about this right now that this is just a season where we got to get regrounded in his goodness. Because it's like the fountain that everything flows from. It's just the knowledge that he loves me. He's got good things for me. And honestly, there's so much confusion from amazing, awesome people even in the body of Christ. Whole books written on the sovereignty of God. How the Lord, you know, because God does know the beginning from the end, that, well, everything that's happening right now is his will. He's going to get glory from the little girl getting raped. He's going to, you know, somehow get glory from, you know, I'm sorry, my God's not a rapist. No. We cannot take the truth about his sovereignty, that he knows the beginning from the end. The truth, yes, absolutely, that he's sovereign. There are grand things in this earth that are going to take place. He's going to return. He's going to make sure that happens, right? There are great things that are going to be happening. He has things that he's like, I'm working to make sure this happens. But he is not the author of evil. The reason why evil's on this earth is because we disobeyed God. And we literally opened a floodgate of hell over the earth. And the enemy flooded in, and sinful men work with him. And that's not because God's like, oh, that was just my will. because look how I can redeem it in the end. His will was Eden. How many of you, though, want to be a puppet? How many of you want no control over your life? How many of you want, like, just every action and word to be dictated by? How many of you want your husband and your wife to love you because they have to love you? They actually have no choice. They're puppets in this whole thing. No, you don't want that, right? I want my husband to love me because he loves me, not because he has to love me. God wants a bride and a people that love him because they have choice, right? We have choice. Choice to do amazing, amazing things like Shannon talked about today. A choice to change the earth. Or we have choices to make terrible things and bring such pain upon people. You can be the next Mother Teresa or you can be the next Adolf Hitler. You have a choice. But God is not like behind the evil of this world. He's just not. And I want to read you scripture and I want you to walk away with even more convinced in your heart. God's for you. He's not against you. He's not the author of evil. He's the author of good. He's not your problem. He's your solution. He's not your big question. He's just your answer. And he is working with you. He's working with you for his glory and your good. All right, so why don't you just repeat after me? This is just basics. Devil is bad. Just say it. Devil is bad. God is good. I'm just refraining from saying all the time, God is good. We're just not Southern enough to do it. I can't pull it off. So bad theology actually happens, though, when we start looking at the world around us and just form what we believe from what we see rather than from the Word of God. So when people say things like, well, everything happens for a reason, and I mean, they're meaning that like, well, God's, you know, in charge of every detail that's happening around me. I'm like, well, maybe the things that are happening for a reason around you, it's the devil's reason, because he came to steal, kill, and destroy. You know, well, I don't know why God's putting me through all this pain and suffering and agony and hell. He must have a purpose in it. Or there's a devil who hates your guts and you got to like find out who your enemy is, right? So let's read some verses. But first, I'll give you a truth and you can write it in your blanks. I know you like blanks. In those notes, your first blank, you're going to love this. The devil is a jerk and everything he does is rotten. Yeah. Kids, don't call anyone else a jerk, but you can probably call the devil a jerk. Let's read John 10:10. The thief, that's Satan, he comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Everyone just say it together. The thief comes only to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But then it says, Jesus says, but I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. We're looking at what in the world belongs to the devil and what belongs to God. Okay? 1 Peter 5, verse 8. Stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. If you're getting devoured, it's not from God. The Lord is your father. He's your protector. He's not your devourer. So what is God like? You got another blank if you want to use it in your notes. God is our hero dad. And he's the source of every wonderful gift we have ever received. That's who God is. Look at James 1, 16 through 18. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like a shifting shadow. You know when you're walking along and the sun is setting and there's the shadows? You know, you ever make, like when you're a kid, you ever try to make funny shadows, stuff like that? They use that illustration to say, the Lord is so steady in his goodness, he never shifts like a shadow. Always steady, a fixated mark of goodness. And every good and perfect gift comes from him. Isn't that amazing? So let's look at just a few scriptures. I'm just going to go. I have a lot on your sheet. I probably won't go through them all, but I want to look at a few today that just celebrate the goodness of God. Okay? And maybe we'll tackle in some other messages, you know, why bad things happen on the world, why bad things happen to good people sometimes. I think those are really good topics to talk about. But in the meantime, we just need to first have a complete, a grounded understanding of just how good your God is. All right, let's look Luke 2:14. This scripture is literally at the birth of Christ. Jesus was just born in Bethlehem, in a stable to Mary and Joseph. And you guys know that out, if anyone knows the Christmas story, you know, there's shepherds that are minding their flocks out in the fields. And angels appear to them, literally in the heavenlies. The angelic realm became visible to the earthly realm. And there were declarations being made over the earth on this night. And the declarations of the heavenly beings, the declaration of the angels themselves over the earth were this: glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace and goodwill towards men. Literally at Jesus' birth, the declaration in the heavenlies was, it's good news for the earth. God has goodwill towards you. The Lord is looking on you favorably. The Lord loves you. The Lord has a will to do good for you on the earth. That was the declaration in the heavenlies at Jesus' birth. And then as we look at the life of Jesus, you know, when you look at Jesus, you're looking at Father God too. I mean, you're looking at, Hebrews says this, 1:3, the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. So if you want to know, well, what's God really like? Study Jesus. Is God good? Was Jesus good? Does God like to heal? Well, did Jesus heal? I just have to pause right here. Not one time, you come and tell me privately afterwards if you ever found something different, but I could not find one time in the scriptures that as Jesus was going about healing people that he ever, even one time when someone came to him for healing, did he say, I'm sorry, I can't heal you because this one came from my father. He gave you this to make you a better person, to make you stronger. You know, this trial of physical illness in your body, it's really just working for your good. And so, you know, I can't heal you because it's really not the will of the Father to heal you. Not one time. Instead, every person that came to him for healing, he says he healed all who were sick and oppressed by the devil. I mean, if we want to know what God's like, we look at Jesus. And we say, wow, he actually must love us, right? So let's look at a scripture that speaks about Jesus. And just we're just going to go line by line and say, what does God's goodness look like, right? How good is he? We're going to look at Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61 is like an amazing scripture in the Old Testament, but it's prophesying about Jesus. And we know for sure, absolutely, unequivocally, for sure, that Isaiah 61 is talking about Jesus Christ. And the way we know about that is because in Luke chapter 4, Jesus stands up in the synagogue. It's like their church service. He gets handed a scroll. It happens to be Isaiah 61. And he reads the passage that we're going to read. And then he says, on this day, this passage has been fulfilled in your midst. I am Isaiah 61 is what he's saying. So as we look at Isaiah 61, we see a reflection of who Jesus is and the glory of his goodness. So here it is, Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me. So what is God? What is Jesus anointed to do? He's anointed to proclaim good news to the poor. If you're poor, do you like some good news? Like God's provision over your life, right? Yes. So that's a good one. We like that. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. Wow. Jesus wasn't sent to put us in brokenheartedness so that somehow, you know, our brokenness would make us stronger in the end. And I understand when people are just trying to be positive. We all want to be positive people. So when they're like, well, I went through this hideous, terrible brokenness, but now, you know, maybe it's you know, how are you going to say, like, it was meant to be because now, like, I can relate to people who are in brokenness. What you're experiencing at that moment wasn't the will of God that you went through brokenness. You're experiencing the power of redemption. Is that when Jesus takes that brokenness and he says, all things work together for the good of those that love him and are called according to his purpose. Because something good came out of your brokenness isn't proof that God was behind your brokenness. It's proof that God can mend any broken heart. That's what it's proof of. It's proof not that God was behind the sin that was inflicted on you and the pain that you went through. It's just proof that his redemption can reach into the darkest of darks, pull people out and mend them into the most beautiful, glorious things. That's what it's proof of. And that should be hopeful for us, because if you're in the room and you are feeling like you're in utter brokenness, and your life, your heart is shattered into a million pieces and you don't know up from down, and you feel sometimes like you're in the depths of the darkness of life, hey, you know what? Jesus loves to reach in and bind up the brokenhearted. And let's look at the next one. He loves to proclaim freedom to the captives. You know what that means? If Satan has tempted you into addictions and you are like a wreck in life and captive to all kinds of disgusting things that you don't even want to, you know, let out of your mouth, good news. The goodness of God sets you free. That's the goodness of God. He takes any captive, doesn't matter how horrible he is or she is, and sets that person free when they come to him. Let's look at the next line. Jesus releases from darkness the prisoners. I love that. I see it again, like the captives, those that are held. You know, we were like in bondage to our sin before we came to Jesus. It's like maybe self-help helped a little, but nothing could change the nature until God reaches in with his goodness and he sets prisoners free. Jesus came to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. How many of you like to have favor over your life? How many of you want to have favor with God? The most important thing. Jesus literally came, the goodness of God on display to proclaim favor over you that are in Jesus Christ. He also came to proclaim the day of vengeance for our God. You know what that means? Sin, Satan, the wicked, they don't go unpunished. He's just. That's good. He is very just. He's a fair judge. And that's good for us. That is so good for us. He comforts all who mourn. Are you going through brokenheartedness? Have you experienced loss? Are you hurting because you've lost somebody in this world? Or there's relationships that you are mourning over? The goodness of God comes to comfort you. The next line, he provides for those who grieve. Like even in your state of grief, the goodness of God is like a blanket wrapped around you, comforting you. He's so good, so good. I love this. Jesus came to bestow upon you a crown of beauty instead of ash. I love our fireplace. We use it all the time through the winter. And when it gets cold, it's the glory of winter. I really don't like winter, but I love our fireplace. It's what we celebrate about winter. Oh, it's cold. We got to start a fire in the fireplace. There's no room in the garage for a car because we have wood in the garage. That's what we have in our garage. It will never have a car. It has bicycles and wood. That's what it has. And, but you know, when you burn the wood, eventually it all burns out and there's nothing left but ash. And ash is good for nothing. And it's very messy. Like when you go to clean the fireplace out, it stains everything. It gets everywhere. I still burn my fireplace all the time. I don't even care. But the point is, ash is what happens after destruction comes on your life. And the enemy eats you up. And you feel like there's nothing left of me. Who is this person? And you look at yourself and you're like, there's nothing but ash left. And the Lord said, oh, no. I'm really good at this. My goodness on display through your life is I take away the ash and instead I crown you with beauty. Any aspiring princesses in the room? I was when I was younger. Abigail lived in princess dresses for about 5 years of her life, from age about 2, 3 to about 7. And she even slept in this one princess dress that she had. She had this pink, like Princess Aurora, Sleeping Beauty. It was really, really cute with little pink high heels. I wish we could recreate that. Anyway, and I remember coming upstairs to tuck her in. She'd already fallen asleep, and I was just going to like pull the blankets up, you know, do a little sentimental mommy moment here. And I lifted the covers up, and she had her plastic high heels still on her feet in bed asleep in her Princess Aurora dress. Like, princess dress asleep. It was so cute. And, like, bedhead. Oh, it was adorable. She lived in a crown. She knew, and she couldn't say her R's. And at that time, she was really little. And Winter says, aw, you're such a princess, Abigail. And Abigail goes, you're a princess too, Winter. She was like, so cute. We were born to wear a crown. God, he literally created you for dignity, not for shame. He created you for dignity. He created you that you should be able to hold your head up high. We're not talking about some yucky fleshly pride. We're talking about dignity. God doesn't take any joy in a person that's been so crushed by life that they have no dignity and can't hold their head up. That is the enemy that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And God says, I'm going to take the ash of your life. I'm lifting you out of it, and I'm crowning you with beauty. You were meant for dignity. You were meant to live a life of godly pride. He says that instead of this ash, he also gives you the oil. He gives you crown of beauty instead of ashes, and the oil of joy instead of mourning. This is the goodness of God. Not only does he give you dignity and pride, he imparts to you the joy of your salvation. And it doesn't matter at that point what you go through. There's an abiding spirit of the living God inside of you and a hope for eternity that you never had. And he says, I'm anointing you with the oil of joy. It's going to pour down over you. It's going to saturate you. He does that because he's good. Next, it says he gives you a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. To despair is to say there's no hope. That's what the word despair means, to have no hope. And if any of you have ever been there, even if it's just one area of your life or maybe your whole life, you're just like, I have no hope left. I have no hope for my future. I have no hope for this relationship. I have no hope for this area of my life. And the Lord says, I came to break the spirit, to literally break the back of despair. He takes it like a twig and on his knee. And he says, instead, I'm going to clothe you with something. And it's a garment, especially knit together out of the goodness of God. It was birthed, and it's called praise. And he puts it on you. And he says, you weren't born for despair. You were born for praise. And the end result is this. This is how good the Lord is. This is his plan. Do you want to know what's God's plan for my life? What's his plan for my life? Here it is. You will be called an oak of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. I love trees. Does anyone else love trees? I mean, I love trees. If I'm going to go on a vacation, I want to go somewhere with trees. I mean, it's my favorite thing. Lots of beautiful trees and water. Trees and water, the combination of the two. Woo! And I love an oak tree. Oh, and I love oak wood. Oak furniture is beautiful, right? It's a really great type of wood because it's like hard and it's just beautiful. Anyway, the Lord actually says, imagine that giant oak tree that's taken 150 years. For 150 years, it put its roots down deep and its branches up high. For, let's just take, you know, an older oak tree, 150 years, it endured storms and winds and droughts and floods. And there it still is, the roots down deep, its branches up high. And the Lord said, when you look at the oak tree, I want you to see your destiny. The goodness of God is going to bring you in to this destiny of strength. And he says, you're going to be called an oak of righteousness, immovable, beautiful, glorious, something that brings refreshing to all who see it, and everyone wants to have a picnic under your branches. You're an oak of righteousness. You've been planted by the Lord, and you're on display for his splendor. I feel like we can be so confident in the goodness of God. When you go through trials and tribulations, maybe they're coming just because you live in a broken world. Maybe they're coming because the devil hates your guts. Maybe they're coming because evil people cooperate with him, you know, and stuff happens. But whatever the reason, you can know God is good. He's in my corner. He's for me. And he's got victory on the other side of this for me. I'm an oak of righteousness. I'm not going to stay in mourning. Because he's anointing me with oil of joy. I'm not going to stay in grief. He's going to put a garment of praise on me. I'm not going to stay as a prisoner of wickedness and addiction. No way. Jesus came. His goodness came to set me free. In Acts 10, it says about Jesus. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. And he went around doing good. Everyone say, he did good. He did good. It was the kind of good that we call good. Not like, you know, weird good. It was like good, good. He went about doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil. Wow, there's a devil and some people are under his power. But Jesus came to set him free. Because he's good. I'm going to end with one more scripture, and then we're going to respond to his goodness today. And I actually feel, well, I'm going to read this scripture. Romans 5, verse 6. For at just the right time, while we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. For rarely will anyone die for a righteous person. Though a good man, someone might possibly dare to die for. But God proved his love, and you could insert, and his goodness, to us. He proved his love for us, because while we were still sinners, he died for us. There is no more, there's the cross of Christ, his sacrifice, was the ultimate proof he's good. He's good. He's so good, he would give anything And he gave everything so that you could know his goodness. So you could come and if you're not really living for the Lord, the first step is to turn away from your own wickedness, your own evil, your own stuff, your own junk, own selfishness. Just say, whoa, such a God is worthy of all my affection. He's worthy of all my loyalty. He's worthy. I mean, Jesus Christ is worthy to be worshiped. He's worthy to follow. He is the one found worthy, it says. And actually says in Revelation, no one else is found worthy. Just Jesus, the worthy one, the good God. And I, during worship this morning, I just feel like the Lord said, he spoke this quick in the scripture to me that I did not have written down, but the scripture is the goodness of God leads us to repentance. Whoa. When we see the revelation of his goodness like we just did this morning in the scriptures, even for like 20, 30 minutes, just looking, gazing at, oh my goodness, guys, this is like one drop in the bucket of his goodness. But even just having this little glimpse of what he's like, that goodness has the power to lead us into a transformed life, to literally lead us into repentance, of changing our ways. And when the Lord quickened that scripture to my mind, I really felt like the Lord said that people this morning were going to be transformed by the goodness of God. And there are some of you in this room that you have maybe very far away from the Lord. Or maybe you've been seeking, like, I'm trying to seek, you know, who is God? And I want him, but I don't even know how. This morning is your moment where the goodness of God is like leading you. He's like, oh, I'm longing for you. I love you. When I was on the cross, I was thinking about you. I was thinking about what I wanted to do with your life. Good things. Good things that he wants to do with your life. And this morning, Chad, why don't you come on up and just like kind of get ready. This morning, the first thing we're going to do is we're going to have an opportunity. If you're in the room and you're like, I'm not experiencing his goodness. Like, I haven't come underneath his leadership yet. The goodness of God this morning is leading you to repent. And what repentance means is it's leading you to change from being the own leader of your life, from being like, you know, just this selfish way that we live through this world where it's all about us. He says, no, it's time to turn that thing around. I'm Lord. Jesus is Lord, right? He's number one. That's it. He's worthy. He's worthy of being number one. He'll never be number two. And so this morning, I believe like the goodness of God is going to lead some of you into an absolute transformed life of living and loving Jesus Christ. And you're going to be the one this morning that gets set free from darkness. You're going to be the one that despair gets broken off of you, and all of a sudden you're filled with the hope of God. Let's go ahead and stand up right now. I'm going to have a couple, I didn't arrange this ahead of time. I'm going to have a couple people come up and just be, to pray with people. Jeff, can you come on up here? Thank you, Jesus. Stan, would you mind coming on up? Yeah. Mary Jo, would you come on up? And Brian, you can come up too, pray with her, yeah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's close our eyes. Let's just like talk to the Lord for a second. Jesus, you're really good, and we're just celebrating your goodness. We're so glad you're good. It's such good news for us that this is the God that we serve. It's such good news. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If you're here, just let's keep our eyes closed right now. If you're here, though, and you're like, when I was talking about this transforming moment that God has for you, you were like, that, I know that's me, and I know this is a moment for me where I am to run to God and be transformed by his goodness. I just want you to raise your hands. Everyone's eyes are closed. It's between you and the Lord. If that's what something the Lord is doing right now in your heart, I just want you just to raise your hand. Awesome. Yeah, I see it. I see it. Awesome. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Jesus. Danny, when you first rocked in the, I just knew this was a moment for you. Would you come up? Let's pray for you. Yeah. Jesus, 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 Jesus. If you want to enter into that transforming relationship with God and His goodness, I want you just to come up right now for prayer. Maybe you raised your hand, or maybe you didn't, and you're like, I just want it. I want prayer. I want someone to pray with me in this moment. I want to, like, leave the darkness and just be fully in the light of God and His goodness. Then you just come on up as we're worshiping right now. Thank you, Lord. As people come forward, we're just going to worship. Let's keep this an atmosphere of praise.
Every breath that I am.
I lost all my team. If you need prayer for anything, we just need to believe He's good. He's a good dad. He likes to give you healing. He likes to give you breakthrough. And so we're gonna sing the song again. And if you need prayer, if you just said, I want someone to agree with me for my breakthrough in some area, then we're just gonna have people up here. You can come up and receive prayer, have someone agree with you for breakthrough and for the goodness of God to swiftly appear to you, because His heart is for you. Yeah, thank you, Lord. The Lord wants to do a miracle in restoring family units that have just been like ravaged by sin and just broken, new generations of broken relationships and broken family units. And so if you just need a breakthrough of the goodness of God being poured out on your family unit, I just want you to raise your hand to the Lord. Let's just take it right now by faith. Lord, we're just asking right now, Lord, would you let your goodness just be poured out on our families in this church, Jesus? And Father, we just declare no one is too broken. No family is too broken that you can't heal it, that you can't restore it. And so, Lord, we just ask God for that healing goodness of God to be poured over the families in this room, Jesus. And we just declare generations of brokenness end now. They end now. They come up against the cross of Christ and they can't go any farther. Lord, we just say cycles of abuse broken now. Cycles of addiction broken now. Cycles of hurting each other broken now in Jesus' name. And the healing of the Lord, the goodness of God manifest in the families, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, you are good.
just celebrating you this morning. God, just thank you, Father. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for the ones who've been touched. Thank you for the ones in their seats who've been touched by your goodness. Lord, we just ask, God, you ground us in this, Lord. Never let us waver from it. No matter what we see, no matter what we experience, you're good and you're for us, not against us. We love you, God. We love you, Lord. Thank you that your goodness is going with us. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Have a super good week, basking in his goodness. Amen.